Hello, welcome to Between Two Worlds podcast. I'm Luke. I'll be hosting today. In the studio, we have Ronald.
Hello.
And Gitch.
Here.
Here.
Present.
Thanks for joining, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We have some interesting stuff to talk about.
We do?
We always have interesting stuff to talk about.
I mean,
about.
I find it interesting. I'm thrilled about what
Are you wearing your snow boots today?
I'm wearing boots.
Are you wearing boots?
They're not like snow boots per se, but they have new laces.
Those are barely boots.
They are boots. Give me a break.
Are they wimpy boots?
They're like Nike high tops.
Oh, okay. Those are pretty, they're okay.
I mean, I got boots on.
What do you got on?
Oh, those are
nice.
I got
blunts.
Oh, those blunts are way too expensive for me.
You're going to get a pair.
Did you buy them? You steal them.
Steal them?
I stole them.
I don't know.
Come on.
Who were they?
Speaking of stealing, Christmas is coming up.
Ooh.
So,
you know what would have been a better transition is speak of stealing. The Flames won.
Flames are hot.
Oh, they are.
Oh, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But do you know who's hotter? The Green Bay Packers.
What a game.
38-10.
Sent Seattle packing.
Seattle.
Hey, good one.
Like the. Packing. Oh, that was good.
You got to know around this table, there are at least 3 Green Bay Packer fans. Yet you can't see anything.
Okay.
But yeah, back on to stealing and yes. Christmas time.
Wait, why are those two connected?
Stealing? Because people steal for Christmas.
Do you steal for Christmas?
No, just people in general.
Okay. Okay, fair.
Anyways, what were some crazy family traditions that you did as a kid or even now?
Go ahead.
Ron, did you do any when you were a kid? Did you have Christmas back then?
Yes, we did. I mean, I grew up in a fairly, actually, not a wealthy home. We were definitely underneath the middle income average bracket. 5 kids. My dad worked hard, kind of a bit of a hobby farm slash that just sucked us out financially. And then my dad worked alongside that. But Christmas is one of those times that I think my parents just bent over backwards to buy gifts. We always had stuff. And so, in terms of good gifts and even at, the older I got, I thought, how can my parents afford this? But my mom was pretty big on this, and I think she always put money away. But anyway, so we always had gifts, but we had Christmas morning church all the time. I grew up in a church where Christmas, 10 o'clock, I mean, you were in church. So we had to figure out when the gifts would be opened, before or afterwards. Boy, let me tell you, on those occasions when the hierarchy decided that Christmas would be after church, killed me. Like, I mean, I'm one of those guys who would be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Let's do this. And when the word went out that we would open after the service, killed me.
How long would the services be? Like
too long.
Hours? Too long.
Couldn't get out of there. Didn't want to talk to anybody. Let's get home. And then we had chores to do and all. I would live on the farm. You had to do chores and you had to go to church. I mean, killed me.
So it was like 2 in the afternoon by the time you did get.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's just nuts. So that didn't happen too often because I think my parents were smart enough to figure out that this is not a good happy time for the family. So that, I think that may have
the freezing
only
kids
happened,
are upset.
That may have only happened once, maybe twice. I don't know.
Delmer needed his presence.
Exactly. Yeah.
For those who don't know, Delmer is the older brother of Ron.
Should I tell a story about a gift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So this one year we got these walkie-talkies. Like cool stuff, And so my brother got one, I got one, and for what reason, I don't know, but we got them. So it is Saskatchewan.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm guessing probably around 10 or 11.
So there's okay. The tin cans on a string?
No, this was actually wireless communication, as good as it could be.
70 years ago.
Just shortly after Alexander Graham Bell invented the phone. So what happened was, it's snowing and it's bad. It's a December 25th blizzard in Saskatchewan, which often happens. And so we're working with our walkie-talkies in the house, and it's just like, it's no big deal. Like, you can hear each other. You can hear each other through all the walls anyways. So my brother says, Ron, you should go outside and walk as far as you can until you can't hear me. awesome. I'll do it. So I get outside and I start, and it is blizzard. You put your hand in front of your face, you can't see it. And my parents are saying, don't go outside. No, I got to go. I got a walkie talkie.
I'll be fine.
He'll walk me home, you know?
Yeah, okay. So
follow my voice type thing, right? Oh, Ron Bunyan into that one really good.
Follow the voice on the walkie talkie.
So I walked out and seriously, guys, I couldn't see anything and all of a sudden I can't hear anything. And I'm going, I got to make my way home now. And I did make it home. But that was the younger brother pulling off something special there.
That's why you're missing a couple fingers.
That could happen too.
Gitch, what about you? Traditions, Christmas stuff?
Yeah. When I was younger, we used to always decorate the tree together. That was a big thing. We'd always get a real tree.
Real tree.
Usually just from the grocery store, but we would always decorate it.
What department? Just like aisle two. Aisle two, we're out of Christmas trees.
Yeah, you know, like outside, they got the cages and stuff. Grocery store. Well, where do you get yours?
From a tree farm.
I saw that on Facebook, actually.
Yeah, you go to Legend.
No, we never did that.
No.
We always
bought. I get it. You get superstore trees.
Exactly. Thank you. So we'd always do that. We would decorate Christmas
carols. Did you take off the fishnet? Or did you leave that on?
We usually left that. My dad didn't like the needles on the ground, you know? Leave it on.
Don't take those strings off.
Only on December 25th can you take that off.
That's right. But we would drink eggnog. We would decorate the tree with Christmas carol, all that kind of stuff. It was great. Christmas Eve, my sister's birthday is the 22nd. So we, you know, her birthday kind of got thrown in there. And then Christmas Eve, we would usually watch The Santa Claus, right? Because it came out early 90s, and we're all 90s kids, me and my siblings. Mm. So basically from the
Tim Allen stuff?
The Tim Allen one, the first one, not like the sixth or seventh.
Tim Allen's good.
Yeah, it was a good one. So we watched that every year, basically from when it first came out, I think 94 maybe or something. So anyways, we used to watch that. And then we would sleep, usually like a sleepover in one of our rooms or the TV room or whatever. And we were usually up really early, you know, classic kids excited for gifts. And and then my dad would always joke every year. He would joke about, we need to go on a family walk. You know, we're going to do all this. We got chores to do. We're going to clean the house. You know, then we're going to make lunch. You know, and then, you know, shortly after lunch is cleaned up, then we can get to the gifts. So he would always joke. And we just hated that. But no, we used to open the gifts pretty early. But anyways, now I have a family of my own, wife and a son. So this will actually be the first Christmas this year that we are just the three of us.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know. We'll probably establish our own, you know,
traditions. Gotta have some tradition happening.
First one on. Mason pick what you guys do.
We bought a pickle. You heard this?
A pickle?
The pickle thing. Christmas, no. You hide a pickle on the Christmas tree. It's a decoration.
Okay.
And the first kid to find it, we only have one kid. It'll be easy. But first kid to find the hidden pickle in the Christmas tree gets a special gift.
So if I could find your pickle, could I get a gift?
Yeah, if you come over.
Nice. If I could find the pickle before Mason can.
Yeah,
seems like an easy thing to do.
Christmas morning, you got to be there.
I'll run over.
So we might start that. My wife loves Christmas carol, so that'll probably have something to do with it. Yeah, we're kind of building our own traditions.
You go caroling?
I hope not.
Go down the hallways.
Yeah. In our apartment?
Yeah.
They would love that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
All the neighbors.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's what we do. Looking forward to some new traditions. But up till this point, since we got married, we're always either at Jasmine's parents or my parents every Christmas. But this is the first year that we won't be.
Yeah.
So.
For us growing up, it was always, we would sleep around Christmas tree, which was always awesome growing up. And
the whole family.
Yeah. Would you guys?
Well, what about Santa? How would he, where would he?
Ron never told me that Santa existed. I never did.
Really?
Nope. I'd always have friends come to school with all this evidence and proof being like, Luke, Santa's real. I'm like, no, he's not. And then they'd be like, look, I found a beard hair in my milk. How does that prove Santa was there? It's gray. I'm like, your dad has a gray beard. Oh, right. So we did that, open stockings. What we do is our parents would give us $20 and we'd draw names for stockings. And then we would go to London Drugs, Superstore, or whatever.
With your parents' money to buy a gift.
Yep. For the kid.
Each other.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the gift.
That's a sermon illustration right there.
I don't get it.
The father gives the kid money to buy a gift. Never mind.
No, we'll get that later someday, maybe.
Okay.
Feel free to use it, though, in a sermon.
I might.
Quote me.
I will.
But yeah. But the reason I wanted to bring that up is that we're going to be talking about the impactful of family and in specifically dinner table discussions, something that has seemed to kind of elude our modern day family. Because I remember growing up, it was rare. Like I had friends come over and be like, okay, it's dinner time. And then come and sit down with us and be like, okay, first they thought it was weird to pray. And then they just thought it was weird. Like, do we sit here or can we go to the TV room? Can we continue playing Madden? Like what, like, do we sit here? And I'm like, yeah, we sit and talk. They're like, you sit and talk. I'm like, yeah, don't you? And then I remember one of my friends and he's just like, no, it's usually like takeout every night. And then we just do our own thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't really talk to my family. And I'm like, wow, that's so weird. And then here we are at least 45 minutes, unless we had something to go to, but usually 45 minute. I mean, the meal itself would last 10 minutes, but 45. And I just remember that was a big impact in my life. But I want to hear what you guys have to think about this. Is this something that we don't need anymore? Or is this something that's super beneficial? Is this something that parents should encourage to do as a family? So I want to hear what you guys think.
I think it's only going to get increasingly difficult, in my opinion. And so when, you know, Mason gets older and, you know, our family expands, I think, you know, in 5-10 more years.
Wait, expands? Are you guys?
Well, we'll have more kids.
Oh, like yeah. Right now?
Well, you know, we'll see. In the Lord's good timing.
Nice.
So, but as the family expands, and I think as years go on, it'll only get, you know, more difficult because, you know, there's no shortage of things to do to fill your time with. Kids from a young age are busy with sports, busy with extracurricular stuff, all kinds of stuff, music. And then, of course, into the teenage years, it you know, jobs come into it. And so I just don't see life getting any less busy. Mm. But I think the importance of it is always going to be huge. Growing up, we used to always eat family together. I'm the youngest of three, so up until I was probably into my middle school years when my sisters were, you know, graduated and stuff. That's up until that point we regularly ate, all five of us around the dinner table, home-cooked meal, good conversation. And it's one of the things maybe I took for granted growing up. It was just kind of such a normal part. I didn't really, you know, think anything about it. But I also couldn't have imagined not having that. You know, same with you, Luke. I had a lot of friends who that wasn't a common practice, or they would eat on the fly, or they would eat in front of the TV. And I just think that time is so key, so important for connection, for not even just getting to know your family more, but this regular continued checking up is so important. And I don't think the importance will ever decrease. I think the difficulty will increase, though, in making that a regular habit as time goes on. And, you know, technology and busy schedules. Ron, you've probably seen, you know, over, you know, the years of raising a family and now who are now adults, you've probably seen that transition of life just getting crazy.
Well, yeah. Part of the deal is, too, I think in our culture, there was a time when there was only one income in a family. And traditionally speaking, that would have been the husband, the man who would have a job, career, whatever. And as kids come along, then there would be stay-at-home moms. And I think now, more than ever, we live in dual-income culture where both mom and dad do work. And, of course, what that means is that come 5 o'clock and mom is, you know, hustling home from work and dad is hustling home from work and is there anybody home? Is there anybody making a meal? And what's the expectations? Because life is busy. So I think we've lost a lot there. I mean, I get it, you know, we live in a place where, you know, where mom is working as well. And it's harder to do that. I know that in our house, you know, Nancy didn't work outside the home until the kids were fully capable of, you know, being home alone by themselves. And so
Luke is capable now of?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Really?
Wonder. Oh, yeah. Nice. You're on your own. Yes, you are.
It's good.
Yeah. Stamp of approval. But what happens, too, you know, in all of that is that, you know, even the segue from Christmas to now is that there's a lot of expectations at Christmas for family. Mm-hmm. You know, kids come home, you know, parents, grandparents, extended family, all those things. But for many, it's very odd because you don't do this normally, you know. And so then you have all these expectations at Christmas that you're going to have family meals together and you're going to hang out together. You're going to have conversations together. But, you know, the idea then is that if you have made this a practice, you know, from young on, that actually your kids can then hold conversations with other adults. And this is part of a process. I would suggest that family meals are developmental. You know,
oh, they're hugely developed.
You know, that it's not just about, okay, we're putting our knees underneath the table and we're going to, you know, eat together. This is about conversation. This is about communication. This is about hearing the adult world from a kid's perspective and hearing the kid's world from an adult perspective. All those things interchangeable. You know, there's so much more that happens when you sit down as a family and eat together. Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting, too, even just to think about now, you know, when Jasmine and I, so she works a little bit on the side, just kind of part-time, and for us to sit down and eat a meal together with, you know, Mason in his little high chair, it's tough, you know, just for the three of us. But I know that the nights when we do, and we're, you know, obviously trying to make that happen as often as possible, but even just as a young family, eating dinner together really, really is valuable. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we can make that happen... Like I said again, it takes a lot of work because one of us has to make the meal, or we both work at it together. But it's hugely valuable, and I can, you know, the way the rest of the evening goes, and the way putting Mason to sleep goes, and the way even, you know, the evening and the night and the next morning, it all kind of is affected by you know, whether or not we've had a good, meaningful dinner time. Something as simple as that.
Yeah, I was even reading an article, the Washington Post, and it's talking about how it's brain food. And in the sense that young kids, they learn 1,000 rare words at a dinner table compared to 143 rare words at a fairy tale, a bedtime story, or things such as like that. And that it's so much more important for kids to be at a dinner table than actually doing homework, playing sports or art or time in school. And then when they get older, when they're in their adolescence... This is in the Washington Post. It says, adolescents who ate family meals 5 to 7 times a week were twice as likely to get A's in school as to those who ate dinner with their families fewer than 2 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I think one is that you are hearing other people talk, and so maybe with those rare words. Like, I remember this, the dinner discussions that we would have at dinner table, and they would be crazy. Just some of the stuff we talk about and just all over the place.
I think you develop a family identity. You know, how else are you going to develop an identity if you're not going to spend time? You know, each personality sits around the table, whether you have one child, two child, three, four, five, whatever it is. They all have their own identities, their own distinct personalities. And so when you can learn to laugh with each other and to... have serious conversations in terms of, you know, if there's an event that has happened and how else do we rally around each other? You know, I think there's a true identity that happens there. And even just spinning off of that, those stats that you had there, it's interesting. Some of those same stats are coming back now that a family that eats less than those 2 meals per week together, most of those kids are more prone for at-risk behavior. That's everything from smoking, drinking, experimenting with drugs, all that. You know why? Because they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not around the family table. So they can
have
actually...
those good influences of parents.
Exactly. And so they can be gone. Oh, I can be over at Johnny's house at 5 o'clock, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what's Johnny doing? Well, Johnny might be doing something else, you know? Yeah. And so I think all of those things, if you lose that identity... of meeting together, and then you lose those opportunities to actually become a cohesive unit.
To piggyback off that quickly, is that in one study, this is in the Washington Post again, in more than 5,000 Minnesota teens, researchers concluded that regular family dinners were associated with lower rates of depression and suicidal thoughts. In a very recent study, kids who had been victim of cyberbullying bounced back more readily if they have had regular family dinners. And it seems to me that it's this family dinner that helps kids feel a part of something at least. Yeah. So if they're getting attacked at school, if they're having these suicidal thoughts, if they're being depressed, if they at least have their family with them, they know that, hey, even at home I have these people rooting for me.
Right.
Then at school where it's like, no one likes me, but at my family, people like me.
Absolutely.
People accept me. People want to hear from me.
Go ahead, Andrew. You're going
to
say something.
And I think part of it, too, the operative or the maybe the key part to that is a consistent. I mean, if you had a meal together once a month or two, three times a month, let's say once a week even, you know, you can, as a student, as a teenager, whatever, or even as a dad or a mom, if there's something bothering you, you can fake it. You know, that one dinner, if you can kind of pull it off and hold yourself together and make, okay, if I, you know, they won't ask me about it. If you can just get through that one meal, you might be okay for the rest of the week. But to always be meeting, you know, even if it's four, five, six, seven nights a week to eat a meal together, it's hard to hide stuff, you know, because they're your family. The more you get to know them, if something's bothering somebody, you'll be able to tell, right? Because you know something's off, it's out of character, or whatever the case may be.
See, and that actually works for, and this is obviously a plug for solid marriages too. Like, if mom and dad aren't doing good,
right,
it's going to be evident at a dinner table. They don't talk to each other. You can say, kids can sense the tension. I mean, mom and dad might be thinking they're good at hiding their own issues, but they're not. You know, kids pick on that really early.
Yeah.
And then I think of even single parents who are raising their kids, you know, if spouse is already gone, mom's already out of the picture, dad's already out of the picture. And then it's even more difficult. And I'd say it's even, I wouldn't say more imperative, but it is so imperative that those things continue to be developed as a normal. Because if we want to try and pick up family mealtimes when they're adolescents and haven't practiced that as their kids, like, oh, let's go watch cartoons in front of the TV and have our plate of, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the practice we have, I mean, you got to have some rules set. Like even in the world of, you know, smartphones and all those kind of things, you know, the deal is phones are away from the table. TV is off, you know, all those kinds of things. You've got to make sure that okay, yeah, this meal is a really bad interruption into my social life, you know, in terms of watching my Facebook status or chatting or whatever, or my favorite show is on, I can't miss it, you know, all that
kind of stuff. Well, now there's
PVR. And now there's PVR.
Yeah, what's your excuse now?
Exactly.
Yeah. Tape the game.
Right. But if we don't practice it now, I it's even going to be harder when they get older. Because
Well, they only get busier.
Yeah, that's right. Things only speed up.
And I think growing up, I mean, I can vouch for this too, right? Growing up, we always had a job. So, you know, my job was always to tackle the dishwasher. And my sister was, you know, someone either set the table and someone cleaned up and someone looked. We all always had a job and it would rotate and we had a little system. And whatever that looks like, a system where you all work together. I mean, maybe one of the kids chops veggies or helps mom with dinner or whatever.
Yep,
we also learned a lot as a family in our early years to work together.
You got
to
pitch in. Make it happen.
You know, pitch in and do your part. And that makes, you know, when you do a family outing or, you know, you do something together, you already have that, you know, you're already a cohesive unit. You know how to work together. You can do things together. You can rely on each other. It's a team effort. And so growing up, that was hugely important because I learned how to, you know, even just, I learned a good work ethic just from cleaning the table up or doing the dishwasher, whatever that looks like. Luke, there's some other information too, just even about health benefits from eating together.
Oh, yeah.
What's all that about?
There's health benefits. I mean, you can just imagine the health benefits in eating a family together, eating with a family. Because if you're not eating with a family at a dinner table, you're probably doing fast food, takeout, something like that. And so, what is it? It does the body good. There's benefits. Family meals as teens are less likely to be obese and more likely to be eat healthy once they live on their own. So this family meal actually pushes them into their adulthood. So if you eat a lot of fast food and you eat a lot of takeout, you don't eat together as a family, you don't learn how to cook, you don't learn how to prepare healthy food, you're going to turn and once you finish, you're going to start eating whatever you're eating at home. So it's not like you're going to turn over a new leaf suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to do the same. So I think even in like physically it's really good for a dinner table meals where you can get all your vegetables in.
It sounds like the key we keep coming back to is this consistent routine, right? Because Ron, you mentioned a minute ago there that you can't just learn something. You can't just start that in your adolescent years to all of a sudden do family dinners or, you know, Luke, once you, you know, let's say you did a lot of takeout and frozen pizzas and whatever all the way through, and then all of a sudden, you know, your grade 12 graduates. Now, how all of a sudden are they supposed to learn these healthy eating habits?
It's not going
to
happen.
So I think what we keep coming back to, it seems like, is this consistent routine habit and family, you know, system where eating together is valued.
Well, and I think in all of that sense too, there's obviously students or kids, I should say, they go through various stages of learning and how they adapt to their world. And so it's easy for you to maybe get your 6-year-old or your 7-year-old talking, but you know, many parents out there listening, they're thinking, well, I've got my grade 10 boy, my grade 10 girl, that all I get is, yeah, whatever, you know. And so it's just harder, you know. Yeah. It's harder to have conversation then, you know. What do you want to do? Because you can't make them talk, or can you? And I think that's where we have to have some great conversations around this and be have questions as starters, you know. Mm. And Luke, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the things that we would do often in family, there's two questions I would ask. I say, you know, kids come home from school, and this is whether you're in middle school or high school or whatever. And I'd say, okay, what made you laugh today? And so you're thinking around, and it didn't take long, and you'd say, oh, yeah, Tanner did this, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't believe it. You know, whatever the case may be, you know, you'd say we could all laugh together because you'd thought about it during the day, but you never thought that would be actually dinner material. And then I asked the question too, okay, what made you sad today? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, there are some things there. Then all it takes is one person to share. And because I would have to go into that. What made me sad today? Yeah. What made me laugh today? Because what gets conversation going is feelings. How do you feel about this? Hmm. You know, and those are important things too, because you just can't expect that kids are going to come running to the table and raise their hand and say, can I talk now? Can I, you know, not going to happen.
Especially as they get older.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there has to be some good questions. There has to be some good thought put into that. What are we going to talk about? You know? And I think those are important things that you have to learn to kind of, just like you plan a meal and prep a meal, kind of prep yourself with some conversation starters, mom and dad, that could say, oh, okay, oh, I can ask this question to the kids, you know. And you can make it a game, too. You could actually have, okay, the person with the red napkin has to do this today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever, you know, and there could be a question underneath there or whatever that may be. And there's all kinds of ways, but I think you have to prep that to make that an important part of your...
One of the things my mom does, and it drives us all crazy, but deep down we all love it and we actually value it, but we poke fun at her. We have this, it's a cube and it sits on the table and you open the cube up and it's full of cards and it's called Table Topics, and I actually recommend it. They're just silly, you know, some are serious, but most of them are kind of lighthearted, simply conversation starter. They're table topics. Right. So it sits on the tabletop, and if we're eating a big family meal, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever.
That sounds awesome.
Everyone gets a card, and it might be under your plate or somewhere, and there's a bunch of ways you can do it. You can either read your own card at any point, or you can have a designated question time where you read your own and you answer it, or you can read it and I can ask somebody else across the table who I would love to know what their answer is. And I mean, there's all kinds of fun ways to do that. But even, you know, we all roll our eyes when my mom sets out the table and we have these table topics. Okay, mom, you know, we've probably gone through the whole deck multiple times now. Mm-hmm. But we all love it because, you know, one of the questions is, do you prefer to bath or shower? Just bizarre stuff like that.
Well?
Well, I mean, I always shower, but the one time, a couple of years ago, my parents have a tenant down below. And he's a single guy. He's probably 50 and great, great guy. He's this, you know, German fellow, so super nice. And he has a German accent. And he was sitting here. We don't know him very well, right? He's their tenant, but he's single. And so it was appropriate to invite him up for Christmas dinner. So, of course, my mom sets out these table topics. And that's the card that he gets. So we're all asking. And he reads out his question. And it's silent.
And he says, neither. I don't shower. I don't have a bath. That's right.
But it's those awkward moments, like I say, when there's emotions involved. That
I'd do that table topics if Gitch wrote them.
Yep.
Okay.
Can you write a bunch for us?
Next podcast, I'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, you write them, and then we'll have a family dinner, and then we'll do them.
We'll discuss it.
Okay.
That'd be hilarious.
We'll just flip over, like, cold turkey.
Are you guys going to be together for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll do it. You guys can do it then.
That'd be hilarious.
Awesome. Full report. I want it.
Yeah. So that's the podcast for today. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully you've enjoyed part of it, or all of it, or maybe just Ron's part.
Or my part.
Everybody's part.
Probably not.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
So this has been Between the Two Worlds, Between Two Worlds.
Why do we call it Between Two Worlds, by the way?
Well, if you remember, our initial conversation is that there are actually two worlds that we are between.
There's Middle Earth and...
Middle Earth and Center Earth? No. there's the elementary world. There's the pre-adolescent world that is, you know, somewhat less difficult. Then there's the adult world, which, you know, having passed through the elementary world and into the adult world is called this adolescent world. And so that's where we spend most of our time. And that's why we call it between two worlds. And that's where teenagers are. They're caught between two worlds sometimes. Sometimes they're kids and sometimes they're adults. Sometimes they're neither.
So are there three worlds?
There could be.
Maybe that between two worlds is just still two worlds. And just something in between.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Think about it. Maybe just a gap.
Yeah, gap.
It's kind of like your... It's called neutral.
That's right.
But it's never neutral.
Should we just call this the show the Gap Zone?
Gap Zone.
Or just the Gap?
If you have different ideas for what this could be named, we are no longer sounding...
You don't like between two worlds?
No, I like it.
Okay, you like it.
I just figured it'd be helpful for our
listeners.
We need to tell her.
Email agulovich@northy.org?
Yep.
Yeah?
I should set up gitch@northy.org.
That'd be a good one.
You would, yeah.
gitch@northy.org.
Also, if you've got ideas, suggestions, questions, comments, feedback.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Or you just want someone to talk to.
Email us.
Yeah,
Between two worlds at northview.org. All one word. We'd be happy to hear you.